Our Father, we thank you that you are a good God, that we know you are. Your word tells us, and we have experienced your goodness each and every day. And so we pray that as we think on the issue of suffering, which is in your world, we pray that you would help us. Help us to understand. Help us to really appreciate that you are good, even in the midst of suffering. Help us to understand why the world is the way it is. And Lord, we pray that you would comfort us in our affliction. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, most, if not all of us, have stories of suffering. I've heard from some of you what your stories are. Most of the people here will be aware of how Beck and I have suffered throughout our marriage with our miscarriages. But I don't want to go into detail about our suffering. For one, I just don't think that I'd be able to get through it, standing in front of you and describing our pain. But I also don't want to do that because it's not because I have suffered that I now have qualifications to be able to speak on suffering and to explain suffering. It's not because I have suffered that I have the answers. I have no wisdom, no answers of my own. Suffering is a universal human experience. We all suffer to various degrees and in various ways, but we all suffer. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are or where you live, suffering comes. And if you haven't suffered, it's because you haven't lived long enough. Suffering is an emotional issue. It only takes a moment to go from being purely theoretical to becoming intimately personal. A phone call, a meeting at the doctor, which can lead to that feeling of raw pain. Crying in bed, feeling hollow and exhausted. The Bible paints that picture over and over in its pages. We've read from the Psalms already, showing the gut-wrenching pain of a hard life. And because it's so emotional, why there's suffering is hard to answer. The Bible gives a logical answer, but that doesn't always feel satisfying in the heat of the moment. But the Bible doesn't only offer that logical answer. It offers an emotional one. A God who cares, who knows, who's done something about it and who will do something about it and who's even working good through it. But that doesn't mean that that logical answer is therefore useless. Knowing the truth about suffering will help to inoculate you from despair when suffering does hit. I felt this myself. It doesn't lessen the pain, but it makes sense of it. And it gives hope. It protects you from thinking that God has abandoned you, or that he mustn't exist because you're suffering. It reminds you of what you are longing for, and it gives you a reason to keep on hoping for it. So we're going to be asking three questions this morning. We'll be asking the big philosophical question: why do people suffer? Then we'll ask the personal question: why me? Why am I suffering? Why am I suffering like this? And then we'll ask the ultimate question: where can I find hope? So whether you're suffering now or not, whether you're trusting in Jesus or not, I hope that you'll come to see that only God can give you hope in suffering. And so first, why do people suffer? We're starting off with the big picture. Why does suffering in general exist? How did it all begin? Might sound all a bit abstract, but bear with me, because this explains why you feel the way you do about suffering. And to answer, we need to get an overview of the Bible story. Because the world that God made is different to the world that we're in now. In the first chapters of the Bible, we see God making a perfect world, one without any death or sickness or relational strife. It was a world of plenty and health and peace. Over and over, God called it good. That's the world we all want. It's how the world should be. But it's not how the world stayed. Adam and Eve rejected God, rejected his ways, and the impact was dramatic. God judged them and everyone who had come from them. Not only are we all selfish, hurting others so long as we're protected, but the world itself fights against us. Harsh weather, hard ground, diseases, pain, death. God says in Genesis 3, "For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." God made the world perfect, a paradise. And through the rebellion and sin of people, it's become the world that we experience today. And God could have left us that way. We'd gotten ourselves into this mess. It wasn't his fault. He'd given us everything and we ruined it. But God did something about it. He didn't just stay up there in his ivory tower. No, he didn't remain distant from suffering. He entered into our world. Paul says in Philippians 2, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Read through the gospel stories and you'll find that Jesus, God in flesh, knew suffering. He was rejected, opposed by the leaders, plotted against, not believed, betrayed, beaten, mocked, and killed. God didn't stay absent from his creation. He entered in and experienced suffering firsthand. But was that just so he could empathize with us, to feel our pain and to know what it was like? No. His suffering and death wasn't just to answer his curiosity. It actually achieved something. God knew what was wrong with the world better than we did. He knew that the real issue wasn't our suffering, it was our sin and rejection of him. All of our suffering was just the symptom of that cause. Someone with a broken leg will have some pain. So how do you treat that pain? Not simply by giving painkillers. That might help, But you need to set the leg. You have to treat the cause of the problem, not just the symptoms. Our sin is the reason there's suffering and death in our world. And so Jesus came to save us from our sin. His death was unique because, unlike everyone else, he was completely innocent. He never sinned. He didn't deserve to die. So by his death, he was acting as a substitute, dying for his people. In him, sin has had a death blow. But like a chicken with its head cut off, sin is still running around, ruining the world. So does that mean that Jesus' death has failed? Well, no, it dealt the death blow, and the final clean-up will come when the risen Lord Jesus, who defeated death, will return. At his return, sin will be fully and finally dealt with. Those who've trusted in him will have all of their sinful desires removed from them. And finally, he will remake the world. Like we read in Revelation 21, God will be with us. If you're still there in Revelation 21, have a look at it. God will be with us. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, it says. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is the world we long for because it's the one that we lost way back in the beginning. And God will give it back to us at the end. But only to those who trust in Jesus. Only those who've had their sin problem dealt with, who've had Jesus bear their punishment. For those who refuse Jesus, Revelation 21 verse 8 says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If your sin isn't dealt with in Jesus, it'd restart the cycle of suffering all over again to have you in that perfect world. He won't let sinners who refuse to have their sin problem dealt with enter his perfect world. If you want a world of no suffering, God has promised it. He offers it to you now, but only if you put your faith in Jesus. Now, in the meantime, while we wait between the two stages in the defeat of sin, the cause of suffering, we still suffer. Our experience of suffering is no different to those in the Old Testament who died before Jesus died on the cross. How familiar those words are in Psalm 88. My soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. The Bible doesn't hide from suffering. It tells us the cause, and it paints the pain of real people. We see the pain of losing young children, of not being able to have children, of sickness, starvation, poverty, the suffering of Job, who had everything taken away from him. The Bible doesn't hide from suffering. It doesn't sugarcoat suffering. If you're suffering, you can bet that there is someone that you can identify with in the Bible. And as we suffer, we can't help but ask, why me? That's our second point. Why am I suffering Is there any point? And the Bible is clear that yes, there is a point to suffering. It's not random and purposeless. There is a reason. For someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, who hasn't found forgiveness in him, suffering is a warning. In Luke 13 it says, there were present at that season some who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, meaning Pilate had killed people who were offering sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Whether it's our own suffering or the suffering of others, if you aren't trusting in Jesus, it is God calling out to you, warning you to come to him and repent. Warning you that life is short. Maybe he's taken away the most important thing in your life. Maybe he has made life unbearably hard. And while the promise can't be made that if you trust in Jesus, well, bang, everything's going to be made easier, he does promise that if you trust in him, the pain will be worth it. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If your suffering leads you to trust in Jesus, there will never come a point in your life, there will never come a point in your eternal life in heaven with God where you start to question whether it was worth it. It'd be like being offered a trip to Disneyland in America for a week, staying in a luxurious hotel, all meals covered, and all you have to pay is $1. There is no comparison between the cost and the benefit. You would happily pay that cost. And that is what God is offering you now. Let your suffering point you to Jesus. Come to him and experience the benefits that aren't worth comparing to the cost. And if you think the cost is so high that it's unbearable, just imagine how great the benefit must be for that not to be worth comparing to how great it will be when we are with God in heaven. For someone who doesn't trust in Jesus, suffering is a warning. But for everyone, sometimes it's a punishment for a particular sin. All suffering comes from sin at one level, but some suffering is punishment for a particular sin. In John 5, Jesus warns a man he's just healed not to sin anymore, or something worse will happen to him. His suffering was linked to his sin. But that isn't always the case. A few chapters later, in John 9, Jesus says that a man wasn't born blind because of his sin or because of his parents' sin, but to show God's glory when Jesus healed him. The person who commits adultery and loses their family over it is being punished for their sin, clearly. But it's not always that clear. And where the cause isn't directly linked with the suffering, outsiders, we shouldn't make guesses. You got sick because you were angry with that person. Those bushfires happened because Victoria passed this immoral law. Those statements just shouldn't be said because we can't know. Sometimes the cause of suffering is specific sin, but sometimes it's not. And so, like always, suffering is an opportunity for the Christian to examine themselves and put their sin to death. Which links us to the final why me that we'll discuss this morning. Suffering teaches Christians how to be more like Jesus. Paul says in Romans 5, verses 3 to 4, "We also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." James says in chapter 1, verses 2 to 3, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." When we suffer, God is teaching his people to be more like Jesus, to put off sin, to stop trusting in the idols of our hearts which don't protect us, but to hold on to him alone, to trust that he knows what's best for us, even when our feet are being held to the fire. He disciplines those he loves. It's never pleasant at the time, but it teaches us that his grace is sufficient. Now, as you can imagine, there's so much more that could be said, so much more that I would like to say. But this is some of the bare bones of an answer. Some points the Bible makes about why people suffer in general and the purpose behind our own suffering. But now the question that we ask is, where can I find hope? Now, I've already made the case, at least partially, that it's only by trusting in Jesus that we can find hope. He's the one who dealt the death blow to sin, which is the cause of suffering. He's the one who will completely remove the stain and impact of sin when he returns. Only in him can we be forgiven and escape the ultimate suffering of God's judgment and instead find true and everlasting joy. But some people aren't satisfied with that answer. The classic accusation when it comes to suffering is if that God were truly good and truly powerful, there would be no suffering. That we wouldn't have cases of children dying from leukemia, for instance. So because they can't accept that God could be good and powerful and yet there also still be suffering, they can't hold those two together, some people decide, well, there mustn't be any God at all. That the world is too horrible for there to be a good and powerful God which exists. But let's just think about that idea for a moment. Because is there any hope in a world without God? If there is no God, then that means that this world is the way that it's always been. There's never been a better world. There's no reason to think that the world should be any better. If there's no God, then we are all just random bags of meat walking around. There's nothing special about us if there's no God. We're just the product of an accident. Slime plus time. Who cares what happens to an accident? How do you call anything bad if there's no God? Only God can give you hope in suffering. Hope of a better world, hope of justice, hope of compassion and comfort, hope of purpose in suffering. Far from fixing the problem of suffering by getting rid of God, you dig yourself into a hole because who's to say that suffering is bad? In that world, suffering is natural and normal. But if the Bible is true, then suffering is an intruder, reminding us that this world isn't what it should be. like pain in your foot tells you that you've stepped on a nail, suffering says that this world isn't what it should be. Only God can give you hope in suffering. Only by trusting in Jesus. He promises a better world where every tear will be wiped away because He died to save sinners. So let's pray and find our hope in Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, even as we perhaps know more of an answer, even as perhaps we know more of what the Bible has to say about suffering and about why it's here, we know that there is still emotional pain, there is still heartache. And so, Lord, we pray for those who suffer. And we pray that they would find their hope in You. Lord, for those who do not know You, we pray that they would. That suffering would drive them to You. That it would drive them to the realization that there must be a God. If this feeling inside them that this world isn't the way that it is, as it should be, is true. Lord, we pray that we would all find You and know You. That we would all trust in You and hold fast until the Lord Jesus comes and sets this world right. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.